My guest today is a true rock and roll superstar, a member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and lead singer of the British band The Kinks. Ray Davies' journey to America started in July of 1965 with what could be best described as a failed tour. And from then, he has started his own personal journey to reclaim his home. Before we get started, I want to paint the scene here if I could. I'm sitting here in the studio and I have a copy of your book, but I also have my ticket stub from the time I got to see you in Cincinnati, June 16th, 1987. And before we really get started talking about the book, I wanted to take this opportunity to just say thank you for the music and the good times and the memories and everything else. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you. Appreciate that.
The book is fantastic. It's a wonderful read, chronologically speaking, going from the 60s to the present day. But intertwined in the stories of the road and the concerts and everything else, tied into that is a story of you searching for your home, and also, I think, sort of a theme of gratitude that is going throughout the whole story. And I think that's a wonderful way to present all of this information.
Sometimes you don't know what you're writing about until you've written it. The book started in New Orleans when I was recovering from gunshot wounds after a stupid attempt to catch a robber. And I started writing notes. It evolved over a process of a few years. I thought, well, catalogue The King's Journey, because The King's Journey in America, I've called it Americana because it's not so much a landmass, the country I'm talking about. It's the style, it's the culture. But the journey through America has been kind of complicated for The Kinks. As you know, we came over with the British invasion, and we did a tour after having like three or four really big hits here.
When you first approached America, your perception of the United States was kind of viewed through the lens of Westerns and science fiction movies.
Well, yeah, that's the way kids of my generation saw America. The heroes wore white hats and rode white horses, and the villains had dark rings around their eyes, bad look on their faces. But when I arrived here, you know, as the book goes into some detail, it's not as simple as that. And we encountered a ban because of various circumstances after our first tour here, and which stopped us playing here for 4 years, which is devastating to our career because we were on a roll of hits. We had hits all over the world during that time, but America, we lost a lot of momentum. And Americana describes how we made that journey back and how we all got on board as a team and started from scratch, really, playing clubs and colleges. And eventually, after 10 years, a long time, after 10 years making it back to Madison Square Garden, which, not the venue as such, but it was symbolic that we made the garden.
Well, it was also at that time in the 1980s that your album, State of Confusion, and particularly the single, Come Dancing, I think, at least in some part due to MTV and the influence of that, really revitalized the Kinks in the United States.
Yeah. And it justified the journey, you know, all the touring, coming back here again. And even though the head of the company didn't want the record out because it was too poppy, we couldn't keep it off the TV because of MTV, and we had a great video with it. So we embraced a new culture, which took us on to a higher level of performance. And like I say, made that journey worthwhile.
Well, I think it was interesting that in reading the book, there's a couple phrases that caught my attention. One of which was, you said, in 2000, I took my first trip to New Orleans. Even though you had been there with the Kinks, you didn't consider that, I guess, really to be a trip because you're on tour.
Well, that's the difference. When you're on tour, on the road with your entourage and your band, you don't really see anywhere. You're going, usually, particularly in the 80s, touring so much. You see the car from the airport to the gig, you do a sound check. You see very little of the local culture. Also, I rented an apartment in New York in the 70s, so I saw a bit of New York. I'd never seen anywhere like New Orleans firsthand before, other than playing gigs there. There's a big difference.
You also write in your book about how the world had changed from the end of the Cold War to the events of 9/11, and how you felt that you were losing contact with your own culture and becoming cut off from reality.
English culture's changed. I mean, world changes all the time, but particularly in England, we became part of the economic community. So a lot of our political decisions are determined by people in Brussels, bureaucrats. And also when I was young, we still had what was left of the empire, British Empire, which people associate me with for some reason. And it was a sign that the Cold War was over. Again, it's like the good guys wearing white hats. You knew who the bad guys were. But when the wall came down, I remember seeing the President of America, George Bush Sr., being told the news, and he didn't look totally happy, because it's another set of problems to deal with. And in England, it was more Europe was taking over control of our destiny as a nation. So I felt slight, not alienation, I felt kind of lost, because, you know, I'm British first and foremost, but America symbolizes freedom and hope to me, as a child anyway, and the cultural aspects, like the music, of course, were a big attraction for me. And touring just after 9/11 was really an experience that both warmed me, because I walked on stage on my first date in Boston. This was less than 2 weeks after the event. And I got a 10-minute standing ovation, not because it was me, but because people were trying to continue and come to America to play concerts. It was a tragic time, but the sense of unity and camaraderie that developed was awe-inspiring.
And that perception of America continues now, even after the events you alluded to when you were shot during a robbery.
I still believe where I got shot in America, New Orleans, I was just another guy on I didn't have an entourage with me. I didn't have a bodyguard with me. I was just another body on a stretcher. And they put a band on my wrist that said Unknown Purple, which was essentially my new identity for a few hours. But I saw divisions in America. There's a lot of poverty in this country. Some inequality in many respects still. And the world is in turmoil at the moment. And just being over here to do this promotion trip, there's tremendous turmoil and discontentment and I think confusion. And you have great leaders here traditionally. And it's a testing time for the really good men, politicians. And the good guys got to come through somehow.
Well, I know our time is limited. I just have two more questions, and then I'll let you carry on. First one is, you make reference in your book to an experience that you had in Cincinnati.
Oh, yeah.
Could you tell me about
Cincinnati,
that?
Cincinnati, it's got seven hills. I think the same as Rome, isn't it?
That's the reference, correct, yes.
But anyway, we stayed in Cincinnati, and on the day off, I went with my manager, went found a bar, and there was a wonderful impersonation of Noel Coward, who's an English singer-songwriter from the 40s. And it turned out to be a gay bar, but the guy's impersonation was uncannily like Noel Coward. Whenever I go to Cincinnati, I still wonder where that bar is. It's probably been knocked down and redeveloped. But that's a fond memory, hearing that Noel Coward impersonation, so British, echoing down the street in Cincinnati.
One last question. As a British person, you write in your book that the very uniquely American traditional holiday of Thanksgiving has become significant to you. How did that develop?
Well, it developed. I spent more and more time in America. The first Thanksgiving I had here was a promoter in New York by the name of Ron Delsner. He took us to his house. And I thought it was just another weekend. But the more I came here, particularly when I was in New Orleans, I realized how special it was. I think it's the most significant holiday because it's a time for families. And I was very moved by the first Thanksgiving dinner I went to. It's unlike Christmas in respect. It's not such a commercial time. It's a time for families to get together. And I think Britain could do with having a Thanksgiving Day. I think it's a truly wonderful time.
Well, Mr. Ray Davies, it has been an incredible, unique pleasure, treat, and an honor to be able to speak with you, and I appreciate your time.
Thank you, man. Enjoy the book.
The book is Americana: The Kinks, The Riff, The Road, The Story. It has been my pleasure to speak with Ray Davies from The Kinks. For Around Cincinnati, I'm Jim Nolan.
The taxman's taken all my dough and left me in my stately home, blazing on a sunny afternoon. And and I can't sail my yacht. He's taken everything I got. All I've got's this sunny